Hey there. So I know you're really interested in how clarity can make such a huge difference, especially coming from a design thinking background like yours.
Yeah.
And I totally get it. It sometimes feels like everyone's just yelling, ship it, ship it, ship it, and are obsessed with metrics and growth.
Right.
But what about actually taking the time to understand the problems that we're trying to solve?
Yeah.
Charles Eames, he once said that design's boundaries are actually defined by the boundaries of problems.
Right.
And that just really resonates with me. And I think you've probably felt that tension too, that feeling of being stuck, even when using all these agile and lean methodologies.
Yeah.
Like, what if there was a way to rediscover that problem space thinking without having to sacrifice all the speed and agility?
It's interesting that you mention Eames because I think that quote really gets to the heart of this deep dive that we're doing today.
Okay.
And the material that you've shared about this Clarity Lab method, it seems to really try to address this kind of core tension, the balance between clarity and action.
Okay. So let's talk about this whole idea of the problem with just shipping.
Okay.
The sources all seem to kind of point to this idea that this obsession with speed and with agile and lean can sometimes really overshadow the need to truly understand the problem that we're actually trying to solve.
Yeah.
Does that resonate with you at all?
Absolutely. And I think that's something that we see not just in the tech world.
Yeah.
I think the sources really highlight how it's kind of across the board. You see it in business, personal development, even organizational design.
Right.
It's like this growth at all costs mentality that really prioritizes these metrics over meaning.
It's like everyone's so busy trying to climb the ladder that they don't even stop to check if it's leaning against the right wall.
Oh, that's such a great way to put it.
Yeah.
And the sources bring up some really interesting examples.
Mm-hmm.
There's a whole section about startups that fail simply because they lack a really clear value proposition. So they just keep pivoting and pivoting and pivoting without ever really understanding the core need of their audience.
Yeah, I've definitely seen that firsthand.
Yeah.
And it's not just with startups.
Right.
It's also the sources talk about this rise of productivity culture and how that can lead individuals down this rabbit hole of efficiency without really aligning their efforts with their actual goals.
Yeah.
It's like optimizing your workflow to achieve, well, what exactly?
Exactly. And the sources even go so far as to kind of critique even those classic design thinking frameworks, saying that even something like the double diamond can fall short if it just assumes a predefined destination, rather than really encouraging this genuine problem exploration.
Right. It's like you're starting a journey, but you already have the map filled out.
Yeah.
There's no adventure in that.
No.
And I think that's where this Clarity Lab method comes in.
Right.
Right. It's about rediscovering that kind of sense of exploration.
Yeah.
That curiosity about the problem space. But it's not about just like throwing out agile or lean, right?
No, not at all.
Okay.
The Clarity Lab method isn't about throwing the baby out with the bathwater.
Right.
It's about recognizing that clarity and speed, they aren't mutually exclusive.
Right.
You can be thoughtful and you can be agile. So it's designed to really integrate that deeper exploration and problem framing into a really iterative process, an agile process.
Okay, so how does that actually work?
Yeah.
The sources talk about these three like interconnected lanes, explore together, elaborate, and land and scale.
Yeah.
It sounds a little bit abstract to me. What are we really talking about?
Well, imagine those lanes as kind of like the phases of a journey towards clarity.
Okay.
And they build on top of each other, guiding you from the very initial problem framing to a really nuanced understanding. And then finally into action.
Okay.
So let's start with explore together.
Okay.
This is where we really try to dig deep into the problem you're facing.
Okay, dig deep. How? Like, give me an example.
Sure. Let's say you're working on some new product feature.
Okay.
Instead of just immediately jumping into wireframes or prototypes.
Right.
You'd first gather your team and really try to dissect the user need that you're trying to address.
Mm-hmm.
You'd ask questions like, what are the underlying pauses here? What are the assumptions that we're bringing to the table? Are there external factors that we might be missing?
So it's about getting everyone on the same page.
Yeah.
Challenging assumptions.
Yeah.
And really understanding the why behind the what.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
And the sources actually have some really cool tools for this phase.
Oh, cool.
Things like problem space mapping, where you visually try to map out the problem, its root causes, the relationship between the different elements.
Okay.
It's like creating a blueprint for understanding the problem before you even start to think about a solution.
I like that. It's like you're saying, hold on, let's not get ahead of ourselves.
Right.
Let's make sure we're all looking at the same map before we start building this road.
Precisely.
And that's just one tool. There's also things like stakeholder influence analysis, where you try to identify those key players and how they might impact the whole problem space.
Right.
It's about understanding those dynamics at play, the power structures, and the possible roadblocks that you might face.
So it sounds like this lane is all about really getting crystal clear on the problem.
Yeah.
Understanding all of its nuances and the complexities.
Uh-huh.
And then also identifying the key factors that might influence your path forward.
Exactly.
Okay, what happens next? When do we get to elaborate?
Well, this is where things get really interesting.
Ooh, I like when you say that.
Okay, yeah.
That usually means I'm about to learn something really mind-blowing.
Well, get ready, because the elaborate lane is all about expanding your thinking, challenging assumptions, and really exploring all those different possibilities.
So it's like brainstorming on steroids.
I think it's more like strategic brainstorming with a really clear focus.
Uh-huh.
It's not just about throwing out ideas for the sake of it. It's about systematically exploring the different paths forward.
Okay.
Testing your assumptions and challenging those initial perspectives.
Okay, I'm intrigued. So how does that actually work in practice?
Well, the sources talk about a lot of different techniques for this elaborate phase.
Okay.
And one that really stuck with me is something they call future prototyping.
Okay.
So imagine running these workshops where you basically create scenarios based on different decisions.
Uh-huh.
Like, what if we pursued this path?
Right.
What if we went in this totally different direction?
Okay.
What are the consequences, the risks, the rewards? You're making those potential futures tangible, visible, and debatable.
That's really fascinating.
Yeah.
It's like you're creating this choose-your-own-adventure story.
Yeah, exactly.
For your project, you can explore all the different branches of the narrative and see where they lead.
Right.
Before you commit to that single path.
Yeah. Exactly. And by doing that, you're more likely to uncover those blind spots, identify potential pitfalls, and just come up with more innovative solutions in general.
It sounds like this phase is about stretching your thinking,
mm-hmm.
challenging assumptions, and just being open to new possibilities.
Yeah.
But at some point, you have to make a decision.
Right.
You can't explore forever.
Right.
So where does land and scale come into this?
That's where you bring those explorations back down to earth.
Yeah.
You start to turn those insights into action.
Okay.
It's about making sure that those decisions that you make actually lead to a real change. Sustainable change.
Okay.
Think, you know, actionable plans, measurable goals, a flexible approach that lets you adapt as you go.
Okay, so this is where the rubber meets the road. We've done all this deep thinking, all this exploration.
Right.
Now it's time to actually make it happen.
Yeah.
But how do you make sure those decisions actually stick? How do you make sure that you don't fall back into those old patterns of just shipping without understanding the impact?
That's a great question. And it's something that the sources talk about in detail.
Okay.
But before we dive into that, I'm curious to hear your thoughts on what we've talked about so far.
Yeah.
What's resonating with you? What's challenging your assumptions?
Honestly, I'm really struck by this whole idea of slowing down to speed up.
Uh-huh.
It seems kind of counterintuitive, especially in this fast-paced world we live in.
Yeah.
But I'm starting to see how taking that time to really understand the problem can lead to a much more efficient and effective solution in the long run. It's like that saying, measure twice, cut once.
I love that analogy.
Yeah.
And I think that's the perfect way to jump into the land and scale lane.
Okay.
It's about making sure that those cuts are precise, impactful, and really aligned with your overall goals.
Okay, lead the way.
Okay.
I'm ready to explore.
Okay. So we're diving into that land and scale lane now, where we try to take all those insights and actually turn them into actions.
Right.
Remember, this is all about making sure those decisions that we make lead to real lasting change, not just, you know, another quick fix.
It sounds like this is where my design thinking background might actually come in handy.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we're all about prototyping and iterating, but I'm starting to see that those processes are so much more powerful when they're actually grounded in that deeper understanding of the problem.
I think you're absolutely right.
Yeah.
This isn't about abandoning those design thinking principles.
Right.
It's about enriching them with that layer of strategic clarity. And the Clarity Lab method actually gives us some really targeted tools to help with that.
Okay. The sources mention an influence blueprint.
Right.
What is that all about?
It's basically a map of everyone and everything that has a say in our decisions. You've
Oh.
got all these different forces at play, stakeholders, market trends, even our own internal biases.
Right.
And this influence blueprint helps us see all of that really clearly.
So it's not just about understanding the problem itself,
Right.
it's also about understanding the whole ecosystem around it.
Precisely.
Okay.
So we identify all the key players and we categorize them based on their level of influence. Like, are they directly involved in making the decision? Do they have an indirect influence?
Right.
Or are they like these external constraints that we have to navigate?
That's a smart way to break it down
Yeah.
because it helps you focus your energy where you actually have the most agency
Exactly.
while also acknowledging the limitations that you might be facing.
Right. And by mapping all of that out,
Yeah.
you can come up with a much more strategic approach. You can anticipate those challenges, identify potential allies, and even figure out how to use certain forces to your advantage.
Right.
It's about turning that awareness into action.
Okay. I can see how that would be incredibly valuable,
Yeah.
especially when you're trying to drive change in a complex organization.
Right.
It's not just about having the brilliant idea. It's about understanding the political landscape and figuring out how to navigate all of that effectively.
Absolutely. And that kind of brings us to another tool in this land and scale lane,
Okay.
this thing called the Clarity Retrospective for Teams.
Okay.
And this is where reflection and continuous improvement really come into play.
Ooh, retrospectives. We do those in design thinking all the time.
Yeah.
Such a good way to learn from your experiences and figure out what we can improve. But how is the Clarity Retrospective different?
Well, it takes that classic retrospective framework
Right.
and kind of brings in this clarity-focused lens.
Okay.
You get your team together
Huh?
and you reflect on those past decisions.
Okay.
You know, where did we have those clarity gaps? What assumptions did we make that maybe turned out to be wrong? Were
Right.
there any blind spots that we totally missed?
So it's not just about identifying what went well and what could be improved.
Right.
It's about understanding why things happened the way they did
Yeah.
and how the lack of clarity might have actually contributed to that.
Exactly.
Okay.
And what makes this tool even more powerful is that it emphasizes these culture adaptive action plans.
Okay.
The source material makes it really clear that not all teams are created equal.
Oh, absolutely. Team dynamics can make or break a project.
Exactly. Some teams are super collaborative,
Right.
others are much more hierarchical, some are really into risk-taking, and others are way more cautious.
Yeah.
So this clarity retrospective really encourages us to tailor those action plans to the specific culture of the team.
That makes a lot of sense. Like a one-size-fits-all approach wouldn't really work.
No, not at all.
You've got to meet your team where they are and develop strategies that really resonate with their working style and communication patterns.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's about creating sustainable change, not just checking things off a list.
Right.
The goal is to actually bake that clarity-first thinking into the culture of your team.
Okay, I'm really starting to see how this all comes together.
Yeah.
But I'm curious, how does this apply at a higher level? How can organizations, especially those that are so obsessed with growth and metrics, embrace this more clarity-driven approach?
Well, the source material actually addresses that directly
Right?
with this tool called the Strategic Decision Filter for Organizations.
Okay.
And they kind of pair that with something called decision blueprints.
Intriguing names. Tell me more.
So imagine this: before you greenlight any major initiative, leadership runs it through this filter.
Okay.
It's basically a series of questions that are designed to assess the clarity and feasibility of that decision.
Okay.
You know, have we really defined the problem accurately?
Right.
Did we actually explore multiple options,
Yeah.
or did we just jump on the first solution that popped into our heads?
Right.
Are we just chasing metrics, or are we trying to create genuine value?
It's like a reality check for all of those big, audacious goals,
Yeah.
just making sure you're not chasing shiny objects, but actually solving problems that matter.
Exactly. And that's where the decision blueprints come in. Instead of just answering those questions kind of in a vacuum,
Right.
you visually map out that entire decision-making journey.
Okay.
You identify the key stages, the potential pitfalls, the stakeholders involved, and even those trigger points where things could go off the
So
rails.
it's like a risk assessment combined with a project roadmap, but with this clarity-first mindset built in.
You got it.
Okay.
It helps you anticipate those challenges, develop those mitigation strategies, and just ensure that everyone is on the same page about the vision and the risks involved.
Okay, I'm seeing how this could be a real game changer for organizations, especially those that have fallen into that move fast and break things trap.
Right.
But in a world that is so focused on speed and efficiency, how do you convince leaders to embrace this more deliberate, thoughtful approach?
That's a great question.
Yeah.
And it's something that the sources really try to address head on.
Okay.
I think the key is to really reframe that conversation.
Okay.
Don't position clarity as the opposite of speed,
right,
but rather as the foundation for sustainable success.
I love that.
Yeah.
It's about highlighting how clarity can actually accelerate your progress.
Exactly.
By ensuring you're moving in the right direction right from the start.
Exactly. And there's actual evidence to back this up.
Okay.
The sources actually point to companies that have implemented these clarity-driven practices and seen huge improvements in their decision-making, innovation, and overall performance.
Okay, I'm sold.
Okay.
But how do you actually make this happen?
Yeah, okay.
How do you bake clarity into the very DNA of an organization?
Well, that's where leadership comes in.
Okay.
It's about walking the talk, creating a culture where clarity is valued, and providing the tools and resources for people to embrace this way of thinking.
So it's not just about having the cool toolkit. It's about having the right mindset and leadership to support it.
Absolutely. And the sources actually outline some very practical strategies that organizations can use.
Okay.
Things like incorporating clarity into onboarding and leadership training,
right,
introducing these problem space reviews into those existing planning cycles, and even having clarity champions within teams to help facilitate the whole process.
I love that idea of clarity champions.
Yeah,
it's like
good.
Having ambassadors for clarity in your organization.
Yeah, exactly.
Spreading the good word of deep thinking and making intentional decisions.
That's a great way to put it.
Yeah.
And the sources even take it a step further.
Okay.
They connect this whole idea of clarity-first thinking to some classic organizational theories.
Okay.
Like Cameron and Quinn's competing values framework.
Wait, hold on. I know that framework.
Yeah.
It's all about different types of organizational cultures, right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Clan, autocracy, hierarchy, market. But how does this Clarity Lab method fit in with all of that?
Well, that's what we're going to explore in the final part of this deep dive.
Yeah.
It's all about tailoring that approach to clarity based on the specific culture and context of your organization.
Okay.
Get ready for some really fascinating insights.
Okay. So we were talking about Cameron and Quinn's competing values framework.
Right.
And how it all connects to the Clarity Lab method.
Yeah.
So remind me again how all those different organizational cultures play out.
It's a really interesting framework that categorizes organizations based on their values and priorities.
Okay.
So you've got clan cultures, which are all about collaboration and teamwork, and they're really internally focused. Then you've got adhocracy, which thrives on innovation, risk-taking, really pushing the boundaries.
Right.
Then there's hierarchy cultures. They love structure, process, stability. And finally, you've got market cultures,
which are really driven by competition, results, that external focus.
Okay, I'm starting to see how those different cultures might react to a clarity-driven approach.
Yeah.
Some might embrace it, others might resist it.
Right.
So where does the Clarity Lab method fit into all of this?
Well, the sources make it clear that the Clarity Lab method isn't a one-size-fits-all solution.
Yeah.
It's a flexible framework that you can adapt to fit the specific culture and context of any organization.
Okay.
So let's take those clan cultures as an example.
Okay.
They're already really primed for that collaborative aspect of the Clarity Lab method with their emphasis on teamwork and shared values.
So it's about using those existing strengths and integrating clarity practices into how they already work.
Exactly. Imagine doing a problem space mapping session with a clan culture team.
Okay.
They would likely thrive in that kind of environment, bouncing ideas off each other, co-creating a shared understanding of the problem.
Yeah, this sounds like a perfect fit.
Right.
What about those adhocracy cultures? They're all about speed and innovation. So I can imagine them being a little more resistant to slowing down for clarity.
Yeah, it's true that adhocracies are very aligned with exploration and experimentation,
right,
which are key parts of the Clarity Lab method.
Uh-huh.
But that impulsiveness can sometimes lead to a ready, fire, aim approach.
So it's about bringing some structure to their experimentation.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure they're not just innovating for the sake of innovating,
right,
but they're actually solving the right problems.
Exactly. So. The Clarity Lab method can actually help those autocracies channel their innovative energy in a more strategic way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, tools like future prototyping and what-if workshops can actually enhance their agility
okay.
by letting them explore all those possibilities before they just dive into a single solution.
So it's about giving them that freedom to explore,
yeah,
but also providing a framework to make more informed decisions.
Exactly.
Okay, what about those hierarchy cultures?
Yeah.
It seems like they might be the most resistant to change. They're so focused on process and stability.
Yeah, you're right. Hierarchy cultures can be really risk-averse and resistant to change.
Right.
But that doesn't mean that they can't benefit from clarity.
Okay.
I think the key is framing the Clarity Lab method in a way that resonates with their values.
So how do you do that?
Yeah.
How do you convince a hierarchy culture that slowing down for clarity is actually a good thing?
Well, I think it's about appealing to their desire for efficiency and predictability.
Okay.
You can show them how taking the time to define the problem up front can actually lead to streamlined processes, less rework, and ultimately more predictable outcomes.
Okay, so it's about speaking their language.
Uh-huh.
Showing them how clarity can actually make their existing systems and workflows better.
Exactly.
Okay, what about those market cultures?
Yeah.
They are so focused on results and competition.
Right.
How do you get them to see the value in clarity?
Well, market cultures are really interesting because they're often the first to try out new tools and techniques that give them an edge.
Right.
So the key is to show them how the Clarity Lab method is a strategic advantage.
Okay.
And not some fluffy exercise.
So instead of saying, let's slow down and reflect.
Right.
You say, let's outsmart the competition by understanding the problem better than anyone else.
Exactly. You can highlight how a deeper understanding of that problem space can help them make faster, more effective pivots,
right,
which will give them a real advantage in a market that's constantly changing.
Okay, I like it.
It's about reframing clarity as a way to boost innovation and really dominate the market.
This has been so insightful.
Right.
I'm really starting to see how the Clarity Lab method can be used in all these different organizational contexts.
Yeah.
It's not about forcing everyone to be the same.
Mm.
It's about understanding the unique culture of each organization.
Right.
And adapting your approach to fit.
You've got it.
And the sources really highlight that the Clarity Lab method is more than just a set of tools.
Right.
It's a change in mindset.
Uh-huh.
It's a commitment to being more intentional.
Yeah.
And bringing more depth to our decision-making, both individually and as a group.
Well said.
And I think that's a powerful message,
yeah,
especially for someone like me with a design thinking background.
Right.
The Clarity Lab method feels like a natural next step.
Yeah.
But it also challenges me to think more strategically about how I use those principles in different organizations.
I think that's great.
It's been great exploring these ideas with you.
It's been a pleasure.
I feel like this deep dive has given me so many valuable insights.
Good.
And inspiration for my own journey toward greater clarity and impact.
I'm glad to hear that.
And for anyone listening, I really encourage you to check out the Clarity Lab method.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if you're a design thinking expert or just starting to learn about problem solving. This framework has something for everyone.
Absolutely.
It's a reminder that in a world that's always pushing us to go faster, sometimes the best thing we can do is slow down, ask the right questions,
mm-hmm,
and make sure we're solving the right problems.
Couldn't agree more.
Thanks for joining us on this deep dive into clarity.